The wrath of God should be a wake-up call to every person who has rejected God and rejected God's word, because it's there as a warning.
Okay, sports fans, who is going to win the contest between the Church of Jesus Christ and the forces of evil? And how can we be so sure of the outcome? Welcome to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. As we saw in yesterday's message, the forces of darkness have been trying to destroy the church since before it began, first by political pressure and then by having Jesus crucified. And it hasn't gotten any friendlier since that time. The church has been persecuted, and the persecution has been relentless. In our own strength, you and I are no match for our enemies. But God is watching, and He will single-handedly enable our side to win. Pastor J.D. will explain this in the message, The Wrath of God.
What the Bible has to say about the wrath of God. So I'd like for you to be in your Bibles with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, when we think of wrath, we usually think of wrath in the context of anger or rage. When we accidentally cut someone off on the freeway, we may experience their wrath as they look back at us and they stare at us and they honk the horn at us and they maneuver around us. Well, that's human rage. That's human wrath. But the wrath of God is something different. Unlike our fleshly anger, which is often unjust and uncalled for, the wrath of God is a justifiable wrath. Someone defined the wrath of God like this: it's God's immediate and continuous response to man's wickedness. It is the settled opposition of His holiness to evil. God cannot tolerate man's wickedness. David wrote in Psalm 7:11, he said, God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So according to David, God's wrath is part of God's justice. And it is because God is a just God that He is angry with the wicked. God cannot tolerate wickedness because He is a holy and a just God. Now in the Bible, we see the wrath of God against nations. 2 Chronicles 34:25 said, as the nation of Israel has been caught up in idolatry, it says, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. Now Numbers 11:33 describes the wrath of God against the complaining children of Israel as they refused to be satisfied with God's provision of heavenly manna. They complained against God. They demanded meat. The manna wasn't good enough. It wasn't enough that God had taken them out of the land of Egypt, and that God had delivered them, and God had given them so much. When they received the heavenly manna from God, it's like, hey, that's not good enough. We want meat. You know, even back in Egypt, we had meat. And so it says that God gave them meat, but along with the meat came the wrath of God and the anger of God. And it says, but while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was even chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. Now we see many, many instances of God's wrath in the Word of God. We see God's wrath against those who are disobedient to God. We see God's wrath against those who mock God. We see God's wrath against even the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, as they intermarried among pagan nations. They experienced the wrath and the anger, the fury of God. And you see, whenever you read about the wrath of God in Scripture, the wrath of God is always, without exception, in response to the wickedness of man. The wrath of God is always in response to the wickedness of man. How many people today, they don't want to hear anything about the wrath of God. Don't tell me about that stuff. I don't want to hear about the wrath of God. I only want to hear about the love of God. And so they say, well, listen, there must be two gods. There's the God of the Old Testament that is full of wrath. I don't want that God. I like the God of the New Testament because He's gracious and kind and merciful. Listen, there is not two gods. There's only the one God. Same God in the Old Testament as there is in the New Testament. It's one God. But we see that though God has a character that is made up of love, His very character is that of love. His very character is that of mercy and compassion. But the character of God, the nature of God, is also a nature of absolute, infinite holiness, purity. So holy, in fact, that I don't believe that we can comprehend and really understand the holiness of God. Therefore, it is difficult for us to understand the wrath of a holy God. But that is what the Bible says he is. He's holy, and he does express his wrath towards the wickedness of man. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 28, he said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So we discover, even Jesus, as he warns, this very solemn warning, listen, don't fear men, because, you know, it's not what men can do to you that you should fear. It's God who can destroy both the body and the soul. A solemn warning that there should be this understanding. The wrath of God is very real. Now, people don't want to hear about the wrath of God today because it makes them many times feel afraid. They hear something about the wrath of God and there's fear. There's maybe some intimidation, or maybe they're just uncomfortable to hear those words. And listen, if you're on the wrong side of God's plan for redemption, it should. Fear him, Jesus said, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now this morning, Paul describes for us not just a person, but a group of people who are on the wrong side of God's plan of redemption. Like so many today, they reject God. They reject the word of God. They reject the precepts of God. We see now those who are the enemies of the word of God, those who are the foes of the word of God. And listen, the Bible says that they persecuted the believers at Thessalonica. They have shut the word of God out of public schools today because they are the enemy of God. The Ten Commandments, which are no longer able to be displayed at many of the courthouses because, listen, they are the enemies of God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything about God within our system. Even the Pledge of Allegiance is under attack, as there are those who would seek to take the word God out of the pledge. Why? Those in the Bible who rejected God invited upon themselves the wrath of God. And that's the passage that we're going to be looking at. I love chapter 2. I've enjoyed going through chapter 2 with you, because in chapter 2, as we discover this wonderful, beautiful heart of the minister that Paul had, it was the heart of the minister. It was a heart that Paul said, listen, when I looked at the church, they were to me as a child, and I was as its nursing mom. I cherished this church. I loved them. I fed them. And then I was as a father to them. I gave them guidance and I gave them counsel and direction. And that is the heart of the minister. And so that's most of what we see here in chapter 2. But then we get to this diversion. Now we come to a topic that should make everybody sit up and listen, because it's the topic of God's wrath. So let's go back here at verse 14. It's at the end of verse 14 where Paul catapults us into this topic of God's wrath. Notice with me verse 14. He said, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Paul declares here that wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, let's just stop here for a moment, because here Paul describes a group of people who are under the wrath of God. But listen, the Bible says that all of us, each one of us, were really, every one of us, were deserving of the wrath of God. You agree with me? Well, you say, I don't know. I've lived maybe a pretty good life. I've done my best. I don't know why God would be so angry with me. But listen, the Bible says that, hey, if you've broken even one of the points of the law, you've broken all of the law. Just in one aspect, you've broken all the law you've broken. And so, listen, if you've broken all the law, that's a lot. You're worthy of the wrath of God. The Bible says that all have sinned. Every one of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And you see, when you fall short of the glory of God and when you sin, the Bible says that the soul that sins will surely die. And that's the wrath of God upon man's sin, is that it's a death sentence. And it's the wrath of God. And all of us, we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. And so we might say, well, you know what? I guess I really am. If I've sinned, then yes, according to the Bible, I am deserving of the wrath of God. But the wonderful gospel and the good news that is contained in this book and is shared so thoroughly here in 1 Thessalonians is, listen, twice Paul says, you've been delivered from the wrath of God. And that's the gospel, and that's the good news, is that we've been delivered from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says that Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, isn't that great news? How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, a verse that many of us are so familiar with. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And listen, this is the great hope of the believer in Jesus Christ. The one who is trusted in Jesus Christ is the one who has been delivered from the wrath of God. Now, when I look at wrath in this way, I can rejoice. Wow. I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about God's wrath. And listen, if you're a believer here today and you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't need to be concerned about the wrath of God because you have been delivered. And that's great news. That's a great hope of the believer. But notice with me here, first of all, Paul's indictment in verse 15 and 16, because here Paul lays out the wicked deeds that brought about the wrath of God upon the Judeans. Number one, it says that they killed both the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets. Now, in Acts chapter 7, we have the account of Stephen, who was brought before the high priest, and he was brought before the council. And there he laid out the history of Israel, which was one of rejection of God's plan of redemption. And he said, listen, he said, not only have you rejected God, your fathers also rejected God. Your fathers rejected God, you rejected God. Your fathers persecuted the prophets, and you have persecuted the prophets as well. And so there's been this history within the nation of Israel of one of rejection of God's word. And he says, finally, he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers. And of course, here he's talking, the just one is Jesus Christ. He says, you, first of all, you resist the Holy Spirit. Your fathers resisted the Holy Spirit. Your fathers persecuted the prophets. And he says, and now you have become betrayers and murderers of the just one that they foretold would come. So what happened next? Well, you probably remember the story. What did they do to Stephen? Well, they took him up by the collar. They pulled him out of the city, and the Bible says that they stoned him. They were full of wrath. They were enraged at the accusations that Stephen laid out as he just simply brought their own history before them. It enraged them, and they killed him for it. So here Paul, he levels the same charge against the Judeans, the Jews, and really the religious leaders of the day. He says they killed both the Lord Jesus and they killed their own prophets. Number two, he says they have also persecuted us. They've persecuted us. So like the prophets who foretold the coming of God's Redeemer, they persecuted, so they also persecuted the apostles who came after and proclaimed the glory of God's redemption. They persecuted. They were threatened, the Bible says. And so he says they have persecuted us. Number three is that they don't please God. Now, the Judeans, they were blinded to God's plan of redemption. They believed that salvation was for the Jews only. Now, that would be like you and I saying, well, you know, salvation is for only those who live in Houston or something like that. And if you don't live in Houston, then salvation isn't for you. And so, you know, there's this prejudice about Houston. Well, hey, you've got to live in Houston if you're going to be saved. So anybody else coming into Houston, listen, you're not saved because you're not from here. And you know how people can be prejudiced. And so it is with the Judeans, because they were the Jews. They said, listen, salvation is only for the Jews. And if you're anything other than a Jew, then salvation doesn't apply to you. In fact, they believed that anyone that wasn't a Jew was an absolute heathen, and they were unclean, and they were wicked. They were pagans. So here Paul says that they don't please God. They actually had great animosity against the Gentiles. And listen, as Jews, they really believed that they were pleasing God by hating others and persecuting them. They thought they were doing God a favor. They thought that they were living out their religious duty. Now, don't we really see that in the world today? We see many who think they're pleasing their God by bringing suffering upon others who don't agree with them, don't we? And so it was with the Jews of that day. Verse 15 also says that they are contrary to all men. Now, the word contrary is the Greek word enantios. And it means to be antagonistic or hostile. They were antagonistic, they were hostile, the Bible says, towards all men. So here Paul is stating that the Judeans are guilty of religious prejudice. In number 5, verse 16, it says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. And listen, this is the indictment that Paul sets forth against the Judeans. Number 1 is they killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets. Number 2, they persecuted the apostles. Number 3 is they displeased God. Number 4 is that they were hostile to all men who didn't agree with them. And number 5, they forbid the word of God being shared with the Gentiles that they might be saved. Now, let's go from looking at the indictment, what the Jews actually did, to God's indignation. God's indignation. We find it in verse 16. God's response to the Judeans' action. Paul writes here in verse 16, he says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost, to fill up the measure of their sins. What is Paul talking about here? How is it that a person fills up the measure of their sins? Well, the Bible says, listen, that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. God's Spirit speaks to man's heart and seeks to draw him into a relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit of God. He speaks to your heart and he says, listen, I love you. I care about you. I want to have a relationship with you. Where I am, I want you to be. But listen, you must go through my Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. And he says, so listen, I want you to be with me. And so the Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is that of wooing the person or speaking to a person's heart and convicting them of sin and convicting them of their need for a Savior so that they might come and they might receive God's provision for redemption. But the Holy Spirit will only speak to someone for so long. There can come a point in a person's life where they're over and over and over. They have rejected God's message. They have rejected God. They have rejected the Son of God. They've rejected the Word of God. They've rejected the speaking of the Holy Spirit. They resist the Holy Spirit. And finally, it comes to a point where God says, okay, that's it. That's all. You sinned unto your full measure. And listen, I'm no longer going to be dealing with you. I'm no longer going to be calling you. And listen, the Bible talks about the heart of a man being hardened to the point where he cannot any longer be reached by God. And that is a terrible place to be. That's a tragic place to be. That someone would reject God to that point, but that's what the Bible tells us. And so here are these Judeans. They fill up the measure of their sins, and then it says that the only thing left for them is the wrath of God. It says that the wrath of God has already been measured out upon them. In other words, God already knows that, listen, it's too late for these people. They're not going to turn back, and my wrath is now upon them. Now, why was the wrath of God upon them? Well, they willfully rejected the word of God. They killed the prophets. They persecuted the apostles. They hindered the spread of the gospel. Listen, this was the wrath of God upon the Jews because they did not recognize their Savior and they rejected him. They rejected the prophets that foretold of him. They rejected Jesus Christ when he came. They rejected the apostles who came after and proclaimed Jesus Christ as being the Savior. It was just complete, willful rejection. And so God's wrath, in a present sense, was poured out upon them in the destruction of Jerusalem. But there's also a future sense in which we think about the wrath of God. For instance, the Bible speaks about a 7-year period, which we all know is the period of the tribulation. It's a time when the Bible says the wrath of God will be poured out upon the whole earth. The whole earth will experience the wrath of God. Why? Because they have rejected God's provision for salvation. They have rejected his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that it will be the worst time that the world has ever experienced. Men's hearts will fail them of fear. They will cry for the rocks to fall upon them. And listen, there will be no relief because the wrath of God will be measured out upon the earth to its fullest extent. And listen, it's not a time that you want to be here. Now, thankfully, the Bible does say that God has delivered us from wrath. He has not appointed us unto wrath, the Bible says, and we believe that he will take us out before his wrath comes. But listen, the wrath of God should be a wake-up call to every person who has rejected God and rejected God's word, because it's there as a warning. It should cause us to kind of sit up in a cold sweat when we contemplate the wrath and the anger of God. Listen, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of eternity. But the Bible speaks the wrath of God, it ends in a place of fire and torment and damnation. And listen, I realize that messages today that include the word hell and fire and pain and torment and damnation, listen, they're not popular. Nobody wants to talk about that stuff. But it's in God's word. I can tell you it's so much better to hear the word of God and the wrath of God coming from me as a minister than before it's too late when you stand before God himself. Because the wrath of God is real. Because he is a holy and he is a just God. And the Bible says that he cannot tolerate sin. Period. So what is the answer for you and I? Well, I like what Paul wrote to the Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. Paul writes, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" There's only one answer for the deliverance of God's wrath, and that is the Son, Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, which cleanses a man from all sin. Where does that leave us with God? It leaves us in a position of reconciliation where we are no longer the enemy of God. Now we have become the child of God. We've become accepted by him, and he can accept us because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. Now, how do we apply that blood to our life? Well, the Bible says that it's through faith. Through believing, it's not anything that we do. It's not that we can become good enough. It's not that we can become righteous enough through our own endeavors. The Bible said it is by faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of your works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. There's only one way, and that's the grace of God. That's the gift of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin. And this is the great news. This is the deliverance of the wrath of God.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of the voice of truth.